Amen. All right, well, we're there in Genesis chapter number 1. And of course, today is the first day of the year. It's the first Sunday of the year, the first church service of the year. And I thought that it would be appropriate to read the first chapter of the Bible there in Genesis chapter 1. And today, of course, being the first day of the year, I want to preach a sermon regarding the first day of the year, regarding this, the new year. And I'd like to speak to you, and I don't plan on preaching very long. I understand that you're probably tired, and I'm tired too. And I'll do my best to not be long-winded, but I want to preach on the subject of how to make this year better than last year. How to make this year better than last year. And I hope that you believe that this year, 2023, can be better than last year. And of course, as we begin a new year, it is very normal and natural to feel the start of something fresh, to feel the start of a new year and the ending of something and the beginning of something. And I'd like to give you some thoughts this morning regarding how to make this year better than last year. I really would like to just share three different thoughts, or really three different words, and you'll find the first idea there in Genesis chapter 1. If you're taking notes this morning, and I always encourage you to take notes on the back of your course of the week, there's a place for you to write down some things. Let's begin with this. This is the first word or the first heading, the first point of the sermon is this. In order to make this year better than last year, we need to begin with this thought. And the word is, and if you'd like to write it down, is reflect. Reflect. We should take some time at the end of a year and at the beginning of a new to reflect upon the past. And sometimes people take the idea that every day is the same. And as far as celebrating holidays and things of that matter, the Bible definitely teaches that you don't have to celebrate anything that you don't want to. But the Bible does tell us that God gave us time frames in order to end and restart days and seasons and years. For the last 12 years of Verity Baptist Church, of our ministry, as we've led New Year's Eve services, I think every single year, I've taken the church family to read portions of Scripture. And last night, we did the same thing, read portions of Scripture, and I want to read them to you again today. So if you were here last night, I apologize, you'll hear it again. But I think it's good to be reminded of these things. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says this, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmaments of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God said, and God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." I want you to notice this little phrase here in verse number 19. The Bible says, "And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." I want you to notice that the Bible is teaching us here that on the fourth day of creation, God created these lights. He tells us there in verse 16 that it's two great lights, a greater light to rule the day. And of course, we know that that is a reference to the sun, the lesser light to rule the night. And then the Bible says, we know that, of course, that's referring to the moon. And then the Bible says here that he made the stars also. And the Bible tells us that God gave us these lights. And if you notice there in verse 14, he says, "And God said, let there be light in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night." The purpose of the lights was to make a division, to show you that there's a difference between the day and the night. And then the Bible says this, "And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." The Bible tells us that it is God who instituted the idea of days, the idea of weeks, the idea of seasons, the idea of years. Even in this chapter, and I won't take the time to highlight it for you, but as you read through every day of creation, you read these words, "And the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day, the third day, the fourth day." And it's interesting because God gave us these time frames to end and to restart. To end and to restart. And if you think about it, you'll realize that all the time frames that we basically follow were used by God or instituted by God. We see that he gave us the day, the evening and the morning were the first day. God also gave us the week because of the fact that he created all of creation in 6 days. And then he rested on the seventh day, and he gave us that idea of a week. We know that the holidays in the Old Testament follow the months of the year, so he uses the months. And then, of course, he gave us the years. And here we're told that all of this was instituted by God. God gave us these time frames of end and restart. The end of days, the beginning of days. The end of weeks, the beginning of weeks. The end of months, the beginning of months. The end of years, the beginning of years. If you would go with me, if you would, to the Old Testament book of Lamentations, Lamentations chapter 3. And again, we saw this last night. And we'll look at other passages, I promise, but I just would like to begin here. Lamentations, if you start towards the end of the Old Testament, if you can find the big books of the prophets, you'll have the book of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah. After Jeremiah, you have the book of Lamentations, a small book between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Jeremiah and Ezekiel are big books. Lamentations, a small book between those. Lamentations chapter 3. Not only did God give us these time frames to end and restart days and seasons and years, but these time frames, the Bible says, are opportunities not only to end and restart a day or a year, a time of an allocation of time, but it is also times for us to be able to end and restart sections of our lives. Lamentations 3 and verse 22, let me just share this with you. The Bible says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Verse 23, the Bible says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning. What does that mean? That means that every morning you can wake up and begin afresh with God. Not just on the first day of the year, although the first day of the year is obviously a great day to start, but every day, tomorrow morning, the morning after that, you can begin new with God. His compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning. God gives us, I believe he gives us all of these opportunities to end a day, begin a day, end a week, begin a week, end a month, begin a month, end a year, begin a year. Why? That we might have opportunities to begin anew, to begin afresh. Why? Because his mercies are new every morning. If you think about it, God tells married couples to not let the sun go down upon their wrath. And what is God telling us? God is telling us, finish something and start new. He's telling us to begin afresh and to begin new. Go to Philippians, if you would, in the New Testament. You're there in Lamentations in the Old Testament. Go to Philippians, Philippians chapter number 3. Of course, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So we should begin by reflecting. If you want this year to be better than last year, if you want this year to be better than the year you had before, then we can reflect or review. We should reflect or review upon the past to prepare for the future. The way that you prepare for the future is by reflecting upon the past. And now, look, you might be here this morning and say, 2022 was the greatest year I ever had. And I hope that's true for you. But let me say this. When we talk about reflecting, it's not just all negative, although we definitely need to deal with the negative. But let me say this. When it comes to reflecting upon the past or reviewing the past and specifically reviewing your last year, and if you've not done it yet, I would encourage you to take this afternoon and take some time, sit down, and meditate upon this last year. What did you do this last year? What did you accomplish this last year? What were some highlights of this last year? And look, consider the good, and you ought to celebrate the good. Amen. You ought to take some time to thank God for all of the blessings from last year, for all the things he did for you. You ought to celebrate all the good things. And it's good to do that because that gives you confidence coming into this year and coming into the future. But let me just say this. Not only should you celebrate the good, but you should also learn from the bad. People often, I've noticed, the way they like to deal with issues is to ignore them and pretend that they're not there. And look, that doesn't work in any area of life. I mean, if you're driving down the road and your car starts making weird noises and you just turn the radio on so you don't have to hear it, that's not going to make the noise go away. And in the same way, and people, you know, you chuckle because it's like, well, obviously, in your car, if your car is making a weird noise, you can't just ignore it and think it's going to go away. Well, let me tell you something. If your marriage starts making a weird noise, if your child rearing starts making a weird noise, if your walk with God starts making a weird noise, you can't just ignore it and hope it goes away. Often we talk about experience. Let me tell you something. Experience is extremely valuable. Just this week, I should go back maybe and think about it, but this week I had for sure two, maybe three conversations with different pastors about different issues and different things going on. And every single one of those pastors is older than I am. I'm talking about physically older than I am. But yet they're calling me and asking me for advice, and I say this, please understand, not in an arrogant way. They're calling me for advice because of one thing. I have more experience than they do. I've just been in the ministry, though I'm younger than they are. I've been in the ministry longer than they have. But here's the thing about experience. Experience is only valuable when you learn from it. Amen. There, you say, well, I've been married for 40 years. Well, that doesn't mean anything if you've been miserable all 40 years. I've raised 6 children, but if they're all not living for God, if they're all wayward and not, then that doesn't really tell us anything. The only thing that makes experience valuable is when we make mistakes and then we look at them and then we learn from them and then we use that knowledge to not make the same mistake in the future. So when it comes, if you say, I want to have a better year this year than I did last year, well, it's going to take you looking at last year, looking at the mistakes, confronting them, being real about them, and learning from them. Amen. You can't have this attitude that everything I do is right, I do nothing wrong. So you ought to celebrate the good, and you ought to learn from the bad, because experiences are only valuable when we learn from them. And let me say this, whether 2022 was the greatest year you ever had, or 2022 was the worst year you ever had, either way, you need to celebrate, learn, and then move on. Because you can't live in the past. Good or bad, you can't live in the past. Are you there in Philippians 3? Look at verse number 12. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. I want you to notice that we're about to read words from probably, of course, other than, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're about to read words from the, probably, I would say, the most successful man who ever lived, other than Jesus. The Apostle Paul. I mean, the most successful Christian, the most successful church planner, evangelist, apostle, whatever area you find Paul in, he was the best. Used of God to write more scripture, used of God to start more churches, used of God to do more, to accomplish more. I mean, other than Jesus, like I said, I can't think of another New Testament character that is more successful in his life than the Apostle Paul. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained. You say, what does that mean? Paul here is saying that little phrase, not as though I had already attained. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, I have work to do. Amen. There are things I can do better. He said, I'm not attained. I don't have it all figured out. There are areas in my life that I could do better and get better. He says, not as though I had already attained. Notice, he says, either we're already perfect. And the word perfect there, of course, is referring to being complete or mature. Paul is saying, look, I'm not done. I'm not done growing. I'm not done maturing. I'm not complete. There's still areas in my life for me to work on. He says, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, notice what he says. He says, brethren, please understand this. The most successful Christian that ever lived said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I have not arrived. I have not attained. I have not achieved. I have not grasped. There are things that I can work on. There are areas in my life that I need to get better at. And here's all I'm saying to you. If the Apostle Paul can say, I've not attained, you and I can safely say, we've not attained. Amen. There are areas in our life that we can work on. And therefore, we should reflect upon our lives, review our lives, look at our past, look at our past year, and consider what was good, what was bad, and how we can get better. Learn from it. Experience is valuable only when we learn from it. Every single one of us, every single human being has a tendency to exhibit pride. Every person. At times, I exhibit pride. At times, every single person in this room exhibits pride. And pride is a terrible thing. Pride is a horrible thing. The Bible speaks very badly about pride, and pride cometh for destruction. Pride will destroy your life. It'll destroy your relationships. One thing I've noticed about pride, though, is that there are two, as far as I can tell, there are two different types of pride. And though all pride is bad, one is definitely more dangerous than the other. The first pride is the pride that for many years of my life, and definitely before I was in ministry and was really engaged in any sort of active counseling, was the pride that I thought that everybody had. And the pride that I thought everybody had, because everybody does have pride, and I would say the pride of the vast majority of people that have pride have this type of pride, and it is a pride rooted in insecurity. It is this idea when we are rebellious and we are prideful and we won't apologize and we won't admit that we're wrong, but in the back of your head, you're like, I know I'm wrong. I know I shouldn't have said that to my wife. I know I shouldn't have said that to my husband. I know I shouldn't have done that at work. I know that was wrong. I'm not going to admit it. My pride won't allow me to, but I know this pride rooted in insecurity. And look, that's bad. That's terrible. You need to humble yourself and be able to apologize and say, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm wrong. Amen. That's what I thought most people's pride is. But you know what I've learned? There's another pride out there. A pride that is deeply rooted in absolute confidence. The person who's not having this mental debate in the back of their head saying, man, I shouldn't have said that, but I'm not going to admit it now because I don't want to give in and I don't want to look like. The person who just thinks in their mind, I do nothing wrong. That's a dangerous pride.
Right. That's right.
The person who says, I'm the best wife ever. I'm the best mother ever. I'm the best husband ever. I'm the best pastor ever. I'm the best everything. I don't need to learn anything and no one needs to tell me anything. That is a dangerous place to be. You should take time to realize that you have not apprehended.
Amen.
And just because you are something does not mean that you are the best at that. Just because you are a husband does not mean that you are a good husband. Just because you are a father does not mean that you are a good father. Just because you are a wife does not mean that you are a good wife. Just because you happen to have children, mother, does not mean that you are a good mother. It doesn't. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you're a good pastor. Just because you're a boss doesn't mean you're a good boss. Look, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. Just because you're a plumber doesn't mean you're a good plumber. Just because you're an electrician doesn't mean you're a good electrician. And what we have to realize in life is that in whatever area we focus on our lives, we have not attained. There is room for growth. There are things we could do better. There are things we're not doing well. And what we need to do is look back and reflect and look at those things, celebrate the good, learn from the bad, and decide that we want to be better.
Amen.
The only way to be better next year than you were last year is to reflect upon the past and be real about the fact. And you might just have to be real with yourself. Maybe I'm not as good as I think I am. And here's all I'm saying is if Paul can say, I count not myself to have apprehended, then every single person in this room should have the humility to say, I've not apprehended. So we begin with this idea of reflect. We must reflect on the past. The second word I'd like to give you this morning is this word realign. Realign. We're talking about how to have a better year this year than last year. We must begin by reflecting. Look back on your past. Look back on this last year. Look at the good things that happened. Look at the successes that you had. And celebrate those. Thank God for those. Be happy about those. Those help give you confidence going into the new year. But you should also look at the bad. Don't be the person that just puts your head in the sand and never looks at or acknowledges anything bad in your life. Look at the bad, look at the failures, look at the mistakes, and learn from them. Because there is no value in experience unless you reflect upon it and learn from it.
Amen.
And once you've done that, then you are ready to move on. What's the next step? Realign. We reflect on the past, and then we must realign for the future. Realign for the future. You must realign a new target from where you are to where you want to go. Notice what Paul says there in verse 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Notice the words. Forgetting those things which are behind. Good or bad. Regret. Paul had lots of it. Successes. Paul had lots of it. Whether you've had regrets or you've had successes, and the truth of the matter is this, people, one thing I often tell people when I counsel them or when my wife does counseling, we often tell people is things are never as good as they seem when they're good, and they're never as bad as they seem when they're bad. This is the exact. This is what I'm always telling couples. You know, the engaged couples, they're like, we're the greatest, we're going to be the greatest everything ever. And I'm like, it's not that good. Nothing's ever as good as you think it is. And then when it's bad, they're like, this is not worth. I'm like, it's not that bad. Nothing is ever as good as it seems. Nothing is ever as bad as it seems. Remember that. And the truth is, you might be like, last year is the worst year. I'm sure there's something you can find in last year that you can be thankful for. And if you're like, last year is the greatest year, I'm sure there's something you can find in the past that you can learn from. There is a tendency in human beings to want to dwell on the past. Now, we must learn from the past, but in order to move forward, we must forget those things which are behind. And then Paul says this, and reach forth unto those things which are before. He says, consider the past and reach forth towards the future. See, there is a human tendency to drift. Isn't that true? There's a human tendency to start something and then drift away from it. That's why you never finish the diet you started last year this time. That's why you're still getting charged for the gym membership you started last year at this time. That's why those books that you ordered last year that you're going to read, they're still sitting there in their Amazon boxes unread. Because there's a human tendency to drift. There's a human tendency to start something and then just kind of... We take the path of least resistance. And what you need to do, if you want this year to be better than last year's, you need to reflect upon the past, then you need to realign. You need to realign a new target from where you are to where you want to be. Look, wherever you are, that's where you are. You say, well, it's not that great. Well, don't worry about it. Learn from it and then decide, I can do something today. Amen. See, the truth of the matter is this, that all you can do is worry about today. The past is the past. That's why they call it the past. You can't go back and relive the past. You can't go back and undo the past. You can't go back and make different choices for the past. We all wish we could, but you can't. But you know what you can do? You can make decisions today. So you need to realign a new target from where you are to where you want to be. And you need to set goals for a better future. Notice what Paul says. Philippians 3:1, he says, I press toward the mark. The word mark there is a reference to a target, to a goal. Paul says, look, I am not attained. I am not perfect. I count not myself to have apprehended, but here's what I am doing. I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forth into those things which are before. I'm not reaching forth just haphazardly. I'm not reaching forth with no target in mind. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. During this time of year, there's a lot of talk regarding New Year's resolutions. I know some Christians are against New Year's resolutions. I don't really understand that. I'm not necessarily for New Year's resolutions, but I am for living a life that is targeted and directed. Amen. And having goals in your life. You ought to set goals for a better future. You ought to remember this little term. Direction determines destination. Amen. This is what we're talking about when we're referring to drift. You had a destination you wanted to get to, but the problem is that your drift affected your direction. Your destination last year was, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. But you drifted over to Krispy Kreme. and lost that direction. Direction determines destination. We've got to press toward a mark that is going to get us to where we want to be. Because here's the truth, you will be what you are becoming. What you are becoming right now, today, is what you will be tomorrow, and 3 months from now, and 6 months from now, and a year from now. So you got to set goals for a better future. And I do want to speak to you just for a few minutes on this idea of goals. I like goals, and I believe in goals. Let me just give you some thoughts. It's the first of the year. Maybe you've already set some goals. Maybe you haven't. My wife and I spent the afternoon yesterday before we came to the New Year's Eve service working on our goals. And I think if you've not done it, you should do it. And let me give you some thoughts regarding goals. Number one, when it comes to setting goals, make your goals specific. Make your goals specific, not general. Oftentimes people, they have these goals and their goal is really just a wish. Your goal needs to be specific, whatever it is. Whatever you want to do, of course, the common things when it comes to New Year's resolutions are around losing weight and saving money or making money or paying off debt or whatever. But your goals ought to be specific. Instead of saying, I want to lose weight, you should talk about how much weight you want to lose or how much fat you want to lose. If it's in regards to saving money, you should write it down. How much? If it's about getting out of debt, how much debt do you want to pay off? If you're in sales, how much do you want to sell this year? What your goals should be specific. And here's what I tell people. They should be specific enough for you to be able to answer yes or no. Did you accomplish your goal? Yes or no? So be careful about having these generic, general goals. And I'm not against it. And I understand sometimes it's hard to quantify some things. But here's what I'm saying. If your goal is, I want to be a better husband, how are we going to answer that this time next year? Were you a better husband? Yes or no? It's hard to quantify that. A better wife, a better father, a better mother, whatever. You want to make your goals specific too. And if you can, you want to bring your goals to the place where you can answer the question, yes or no. Did you accomplish what you were trying to accomplish? So instead of, I want to spend more time in the Word of God, which is what you've been saying for the last several years, and you've never read the Bible once, cover to cover. Maybe this year you can say, hey, I'm actually going to finish 9 chapters a day this year. Amen. I'm going to finish the 9 chapters a day challenge. I'm going to read the Bible this year, cover to cover. That's a goal. I think every Christian, you say, I don't have any goals. Every Christian should at least have the goal of reading the Bible cover to cover this year. Amen. You can do it. It's not hard. It doesn't take a lot of time. Especially when you read 9 chapters a day in January and you read the entire New Testament in the month of January, that means all you have to do is read the Old Testament from February to December. And look, we give you charts for reading 9 chapters a day, and in February, we'll give you a chart for reading the Old Testament through the rest of the year. Say, why do we do that? Because we want you in the Word of God. But you ought to have specific goals. Make your goals specific. You ought to be able to answer yes or no. Did you accomplish them? You will know that your goals are specific enough when you can say, yes, I did it, or no, I did not. Number two, you ought to make your goals difficult. Difficult yet attainable. Some goals are so easy that they're a joke. Other goals are so difficult that you're just setting yourself up for failure. Look, the purpose of a goal is not for you to make it so hard that you're just that it's just impossible for you to attain it, and not so easy that you're not even trying. You should stretch yourself. It should be stretching you, but it should be something that you can actually reach with work and effort. So you got to make your goals specific. You got to make your goals difficult, not general, and still attainable. Number three, you got to make your goals short-term. You got to have short-term goals. Like I said, my wife and I spent the afternoon yesterday working on our goals. We worked on goals for the month of January. That's it. You say on New Year's Eve, you sat down to write your goals, and we wrote down 6 goals in two different areas of our lives, 3 different goals in 2 different areas, and I'll talk about that. She did for her and I did for myself. For the month of January. You say, why? Because look, When you set some big goal for the year, you're not going to be thinking about that in April. You're dead sure not going to be thinking about it in August. And in December, you'll find your little paper you wrote. You're like, oh, yeah, I forgot. So you got to have some short-term goals. Maybe you think of 1 month is too short, then, you know, do 12 weeks. That's good. I remember years ago I read a book called 12-Week Year, and you can look at every quarter as a goal. But often I believe a year is too long to strive for one goal. You're likely to forget about it. So I believe it's better to have smaller goals, monthly goals, quarterly goals. Have weekly goals. But have goals that are short-term. And then, of course, you can have small goals that are broken up. You can take that big yearly goal and divide it into 12 steps to get you there so that all you have to do is that first step in January, that second step in February, and so forth. Make your goals small enough and broken out enough so that they do not seem overwhelming, so that all your mind has to focus on is that next step. What do I need to do to get that done, to get that accomplished this week? Go to James, if you would, James chapter 4. I'm not sure if you're in Philippians. I think I meant to have you keep your place in Philippians, or you might be in Philippians. But go to James. From Philippians, you have Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. James chapter 4. We're talking about how to make this year better than last year. The first word is reflect. Reflect on the past. The second word is realign. Realign for the future. And I think you ought to have some goals. Make your goals specific. Make your goals difficult. Make your goals short-term. Make your goals small and broken up. And look, obviously everybody has their normal goals that they're trying to reach, weight loss and money goals or whatever. But you got to think better than that, further than that. Consider your relationships. Consider your marriage, your parenting. Consider yourself as a Christian. Some of you need to have a reading goal. You say, I don't have any goals. Okay, here, let me give you some goals that you should have, that every Christian, I don't need to know you to know that everyone needs this goal. All right? Read your Bible. We already talked about that. Amen. 9 chapters a day challenge. Have a goal to read the New Testament cover to cover in the entire year, and you start, you say, well, what's my January goal? My January goal is to read the New Testament. Amen. Your February goal, I'll give you a chart. It'll tell you exactly what your goal should be for February and March and April. Have that goal. How about this? Some of you need a church attendance goal. Amen. Some of you desperately need to go back and reflect upon this last year, open up a calendar, and actually just put an X to every church service you actually attended. You might be shocked. Some of you need to do that for soul winning. Amen. Some of you need to do that for prayer. Amen. Some of you need to do that for the amount of time you spent with your wife. Some of you need to do that for the amount of time you spent with your kids. Look, I'm just telling you, you can live your life thinking, I'm it, I got it figured out, I'm the greatest, whatever. But that doesn't mean your husband thinks that. That doesn't mean your wife thinks that. Doesn't mean anybody else thinks that. You ought to look back and reflect upon your year and ask yourself, how can I make this year better than last year? And here's the real question is, how can I get better this year? Amen. Better than I was last year. So reflect, realign. And then here's the third word, restart. Restart. You say, well, should we restart today because it's January 1st? No, you got to restart today and every day. Amen. James chapter 4, are you there? Look at verse 13. James 4:13, the Bible says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow. So what's James talking about here? He's talking about the procrastinator. Ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. I'll start that reading thing tomorrow. Well, here's the thing. Ye know not what shall be on the morrow. So why not start today? You know, God is not a procrastinator. You know what he says? He says, today is the day of salvation. Amen. Why get saved tomorrow when you can get saved today? Hey, why get right with God tomorrow when you can get right with God today? Why start reading the Bible tomorrow when you can start reading the Bible today? Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. When we consider how short our lives are, when we consider how limited our time is on this earth, when we consider that we don't have a lot of time and we're running out of it every day, when you realize that every day that passes, you will never get that day back, you would have more of an urgency to not waste a day.
Amen.
I don't want to waste a day. My wife and I, we don't want to waste a day. We want to use today to the fullest potential God has given us today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
We want to use today to the best ability that God has given us, and we want to use tomorrow to the best ability that God has given us, and we want to be productive, and we want to be hard workers. We want to be good stewards of the things and the resources and the influence that God has given us. Don't be a procrastinator. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, here's where we check our pride. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Notice, there's nothing wrong with having goals and plans for tomorrow. The problem is not saying, hey, tomorrow I'd like to do this, and next week I'd like to do that. But we should always remember that it is if the Lord wills. If the Lord will, because you may not live till tomorrow. You may not have that opportunity tomorrow. So if the Lord wills, why don't you just do it today?
Amen.
For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Notice, the idea here is procrastination. If you know you're supposed to do something and you're not doing it, that's a sin. There's not just the sins of commission when we go and do something wrong, but there are also the sins of omission when we don't do what we know we ought to do. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if you want this year to be better than last year, you need to restart. You need to restart. You say, well, just today, right? Because it's January 1st, I'm going to restart. No, no. January 2nd, tomorrow, when you wake up, remember, his mercies are new every day. Restart tomorrow. Maybe today will end up not being the way you wanted it to be. I don't see why not. You're already starting right. You're in the church. You're in the house of God. You're going to go home and read the Word of God, 9 chapters, right? Right? Trying to peer pressure you, right? You're going to do it, right? So I don't appreciate that. You let everybody else peer pressure you all the other stupid things you did. Let me peer pressure you to do something good. Say, so I'm only going to read the New Testament because, you know, you're just trying to get our name on a plaque and it's this public thing. Hey, I'll pay you to read the New Testament. Not much, but I don't care why you read it. I just want you to read it. Go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Restart today and every day. Because look, you're going to have failures. You're going to drift. And when you drift, don't say, I messed up. Right? Because that's the tendency. That's the human tendency, right? You get on some diet, and then you mess up, and it's like, well, I already messed up, so I might as well. And then it's just like 4 weeks later. It's like, oh, yeah, that diet thing. Just, if you say, I messed up today, okay, just restart tomorrow.
Amen.
Just start over. The Bible says, a just man falleth 7 times and getteth up again.
Amen.
So restart. Restart. Let me give you some thoughts regarding goals and daily behavior. I got this from a guy named Darren Hardy. He's a success mentor. He teaches this. I've seen this other places too, but I saw this recently from him. He teaches 3 goals. You got to have 3 goals for your personal life and 3 goals for your professional life. And I like that. I like that. First of all, whenever I see the number 3, I like it because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4:12, and if one prevail against him, 2 shall withstand him, and a 3-fold cord is not quickly broken. I feel like that number 3, representing, of course, the Trinity, and here in Ecclesiastes, we're told that a 3-fold cord is not quickly broken. There's something special about that number 3. Honestly, probably an area of every area of your life, whether you're a father or a mother, a husband or a wife, a pastor, whether you're a business owner, whatever you are, you could probably find 3 things that you need to be doing in your life. And if you can just do those three things, you'll be successful in those areas. Because a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So this resonated with me. Darren Hardy teaches three goals for your personal life and then three goals for your professional life. The idea is that you want to narrow the focus. Do not try to do too much. Do not try to accomplish too much. Remember what Paul said. He said, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forth into those things that are before. But he said, look, this one thing I do. He didn't say these 12 things I dabble in. He says, this one thing I do. So narrow your focus. Find just a few things that you're going to work on this month and do them. But secondly, let me say this. You go to Proverbs. We need to finish up. Proverbs chapter number 16. You should have three goals. If you're here this morning, you say, I've not worked on my goals. I don't have any goals for this year. You ought to have three goals for your personal life. Three goals for your personal life. And then three goals for your professional life. And look, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you're a homeschooling mom, don't think like, oh, well, I don't need those. You know, my wife has three professional goals as a homeschool mom and for the education of our children. And so don't just think, like, well, I don't have a job. You've got quite a job. It's an amazing job. So have three personal goals for your personal life and then three goals for your professional life. And I've got three goals for my professional life. They're called David, Oliver, and Sean. No, I'm saying. I'm just kidding. I'm working on those goals, you know? Have three goals and then have two daily behaviors for each one of those goals. Two daily behaviors for each one of those goals. So what you need to figure out is this. What is your goal? Right? What are you trying to do? Make it as specific as possible. Make it so that you can say, yes, I did it. No, I did not. But then underneath that goal, have two behaviors that you want to do every day or that you want to do on a consistent basis for those goals, to accomplish those goals. So if your goal is to read the Bible cover to cover in 2023, maybe for the first time for some of you, then your daily behavior is get up every day and read X amount of chapters. If your goal is I want to lose X amount of pounds or X amount of weight or whatever, okay, then your behavior might be go running three times a week or go walking five times a week. Or your behavior might be to eat below a certain amount of calories or track those calories. Whatever it is, you need to figure out the goal. But having a goal is not enough. Then you need behaviors that you're going to do, things you're going to do every day and things you're going to track every day to reach those goals. So have three goals, two behaviors for each one of those goals. And look, if your behavior, if your goal is a little generic. I understand sometimes it's hard to get a goal to be super specific. You better make sure those behaviors are very specific. Amen. Well, you can check them off a list and say, did you do it? Yes. Did you not do it? No. So have three goals, two behaviors for each goal, and have goals in your personal life and in your professional life. And when it comes to the behavior, you need to look for actions that produce the greatest results. You need to be looking what is going to help me the most to get to accomplish this goal, to get that goal done. You're in Proverbs, but let me read to you from Galatians 6:7. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is a promise from God. That is a promise from the Word of God. You cannot sow and not reap. And look, this promise from God is both negative and positive. You need to understand that. So whether you want to or you're like, I'm not into goals, I'm not into behaviors, I'm not into doing any of this. Okay, well, either way, you're not going to get away because look, God has given certain laws to the universe and you don't get to decide, I don't want to follow the law of gravity. You don't get to decide that. Well, you also don't get to decide that you don't want to follow the law of reaping and sowing, because you are sowing something every day, and you will reap something as a result. Period. End of story. You don't get to decide whether you're going to sow or reap. You get to decide, am I going to sow something good so I can reap something good, or am I going to sow to the flesh and reap corruption? Those are your options. Your options are not, do I get to sow something or not sow something? Your options are you going to sow something good, or are you going to continue to sow something bad? So look, your marriage is either getting better or it's getting worse. Your parenting is either getting better or it's getting worse. You know that our church, any church, it's either getting better or it's getting worse. That's just the reality of life. I don't get to say, things are going good. I think I'll just put this thing in neutral and let it sit for a while. It doesn't work that way. We're either working to make it better and keep it going and keep it alive, or it's slowly dying. Slowly getting worse. Why? Because you get backslidden. Right? Some of you are like, this is where you need to start with your reflection. Yes, Pastor, I am backslidden. You are right. Let me show you my calendar of church attendance. And then we're trying to help you to get right with God. Read the Bible. It'll help. You need to decide that you're going to work on yourself, or life is going to work on you. And you're not going to like it. You're not going to like it. You will reap what you sow. You say, I don't care. I'm just going to eat whatever I want. Okay, you will reap that. I'm just going to ignore my wife and not come home. You're going to reap something. You may not like it, but I promise you're going to reap something. You don't get to decide whether you're going to invest into your future or not. You are investing in your future every day. What kind of investment are you making? Success is a few simple disciplines practiced every day. This is what Jim Rohn, an entrepreneur and author, said. Success is a few simple disciplines practiced every day, while failure is simply a few errors in judgment repeated every day. Clear and effective steps towards a goal is the key to successfully achieving those goals. Not the goal itself, actually. So look, there's nothing magical about this. Sometimes my wife and I, we deal with people and there are insecurities, and you know, it's funny how people act when they feel like they're not succeeding in life or they're a failure or whatever. In their own minds, they think this or that, and the way that they respond and treat people as a result is really interesting. But let me tell you something. If you feel like last year was a failure, or maybe you feel like your life's a failure, or maybe you just feel like you're not really where you wanted to be in life by this point, you thought things would be better and things would be different and things would look different. Let me tell you something. You can sit there and dwell on it and get depressed about it and become hopeless about it, or you can decide, I'm going to do something about it today. Amen. I'm not going to blame others. I'm going to take responsibility for my actions. I'm going to take responsibility for what I can do. And I'm going to do something today to change the outcome of my life. Amen. Because direction really does determine destination. Proverbs 16. This is the last verse we'll look at, verse 9. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart... A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So don't forget to involve God in the goal setting and achieving process for this year. Maybe you're like, I have some goals. Good. I hope you got some spiritual goals. I hope you have some soul winning goals. I hope you have some church attendance goals. I hope you have some prayer goals. I hope you have some Bible reading goals. Hey, I hope you have some personal development goals. My wife and I, we have some personal development goals. Books we want to read, courses we want to take, things we want to do to better ourselves, grow our knowledge, grow our ability. Why? Because no one has attained. Because we can all get better. So involve God in your goal setting and achieving process. And if you do, then God will help you achieve those God-given goals. Amen. A man's heart deviseth his way. That's you. That's your goals. But But the Lord directed his steps.
Amen.
If the Lord will, and if the Lord wills, God will help you.
Amen.
This year can be better than last year.
Amen.
And maybe you say, last year was the worst year of my life. Well, let me encourage you with something. This year can be better than last.
Amen.
Maybe you say, last year was the best year of my life. Well, let me let you know something. This year can be even better.
Amen.
We must reflect on the past, realign for the future, and restart today. No, not just today, every day.
Amen.
Begin to invest in our lives. Practice the behaviors that are needed to get to the place that we're trying to get to.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these biblical principles. We thank you for a new year that allows us to begin afresh. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to forget about this excitement that we have to start new, not to forget about this 2 weeks from now or 2 months from now, but to every day, be mindful of the fact that we are sowing something, we will reap something. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to sow good things that we might reap good things. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to have a wonderful year this year. Lord, I pray that this year, at Verity Baptist Church would be the greatest year of growth. But Lord, I'm not asking for physical growth. I'm not asking for more bodies or a bigger attendance. And if it's your will to allow us to have that, then to God be the glory. But Lord, I'm praying that this year would be the most spiritual growth our church has ever experienced. That people would dig deep, actually get in their Bibles, learn what the Bible says, and then actually do it in their lives. That we would practice spiritual disciplines. That we would practice spiritual discernment and judgment. That we would love each other and be kind to each other. That we would realize that we have not yet attained. Lord, I pray you'd help us to grow spiritually, grow in our maturity. If Paul feels the need to grow, then we all do as well. We love you. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.